Bear with me as we bring forth the word today. It's so very important that God has something to say to everyone that's here. And it's important that we open our receptors to receive what the Spirit of God has to say. You know, the Lord reminded me in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, the Word of God says, little children, be not deceived, all right? But he that is righteous, I better open my Bible. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Amen? So it's important that we not only hear the word, but that we be hearers and doers of God's word. We have to put the word to practice. If we do not put the word to practice, it doesn't have an effect. But his word says, it will not return unto him void. It will accomplish what he sent it to do. So in Acts chapter 2 today, I want to speak to you, beginning to read at verse number 37. The word of God says, and now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Question mark. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, or this warped or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. The title of this morning's message is, what shall we do? And we're going to look at the repentance, the remission, and the reception. Are you with me today? Can we lift the word together and make a declaration here today? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And we're grateful that you sent your word to accomplish what you sent it to do in this house this day. Father, I pray even as the prophet did of old, Father God, take those coals from the altar and take them with the tongs and place them upon these lips, because I'm a man of unclean lips, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. But first of all, Peter said unto them, repent. Repent comes from the Greek word, and we're looking at repentance, comes from the Greek word metanoia. And metanoia means to reconsider, think again. Actually, it means to feel sorry. And in other words, I'm not sorry because I got caught. I'm sorry because I sinned against God. And that's when true repentance comes forth. Amen. As when we act, when we're sorry about what we did. So look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the apostle Paul had written a letter to the church of Corinth, and he brought some correction. But when Titus came back with the news that the people not only heard it, the word of correction, but they put it to practice in their lives. They thought about it. They reconsidered. And the word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 9, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth in his second letter. He says, "Now rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing." In other words, when the word of God comes forth, we're not here to judge anyone. I'm not here to preach at anyone. I'm in here to share the good news of God's word. And what you do with the words between you and the Father, I have to give an account what I say to you, and you have to give an account what you do with it. I'm not responsible for what you do with the word, but I am responsible to teach you the truth. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free." Amen. So when we're looking at repentance, man, I got to think some things over. I got to reconsider some things. There's a little sorrow that comes with it. Amen. The prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 18. Now let me say this to you. When God is speaking to Israel, according to Romans chapter 11, God broke off the natural branch of the olive tree, speaking of the Jewish nation or Israel, and he grafted in the unnatural branch, which is you and I. So everything that has to do with the Jew is open to the Gentile through Christ Jesus. There's one thing that will be separated, and that's when, for eternity, the Jews will be in the inner court. And we'll be on the outer court, but we'll still be in the court. Hallelujah. I'm not going to teach on that right now, but if you have some questions, I'll show it with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse number 30. The prophet Ezekiel says this. He says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one of you according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord of God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." In other words, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 6, 23, he said the wages of sin is death. That word death comes from the Greek word thanatos. Thanatos means to be separated from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And what we're looking at and what we're talking about everything is complete in Jesus. So look at me in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Verse number 19. The word of God says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." That word converted comes from the Greek word epistrepho. Epistrepho. And epistrepho means to be changed. There's a transformation. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I have a new mind. I have a new heart. He says, "And be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." When we gather together in his midst, and we're worshiping and praising the Lord, the Bible says he envelops the praises and the worship of his people, and that's a time when we're being refreshed. I don't know about you, but every Sunday when I gather with the body of Christ, I get rejuvenated. I get recharged. There's something about being together with one another. And he says, be converted. It's sort of like we, an English word is a convertible. Amen. It's one that has a top that converts to not having one. In other words, we were one way, but through Christ Jesus, we became another. Old things begin to pass away. Behold, all things become new. Things are never the same anymore. Amen. Everything changes around us. And God wants to transform us and change us by His Spirit and by His power. Amen. So when we're looking at repenting, what if Peter said, what shall we do? They asked him, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them first, repent. Metanoeo. Rethink. Reconsider. Feel sorry. Change. I'm going down life's highway this direction. Now I'm turned around. I'm following Jesus. I'm no longer going the same way. This isn't a two-way highway. This is a one-way street. And He's the leader. And all God's calling us to do is follow the leader. Hey, you remember as a kid playing follow the leader? Amen? And we don't have to say Simon says, we can say Jesus says. Come on. And everything Jesus says, we're to do. Amen? And guess what? When Jesus says do this and I mess up and don't do it, He don't kick me out of the game. He loves me so much. And His grace and mercy abounds towards you and I. Amen? God wants you to know He loves everyone in the room. He wants you to understand today if you were the only one, He would have still died for you. That's how valuable and how important you are. Amen? God wants you to know that you have great value and worth. The world's trying to steal your value and worth, but God wants you to know that you have great value and worth. The world doesn't determine who you are. You and God determine who you are. You believe God and His word and you act upon it and you become all God's called you to be. Amen? Amen. But He says, repent. Then He says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, that word baptized comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to be immersed, or it's like putting a garment and dye and completely... If you don't soak the garment, it's going to come up with all kinds of mixed colors. Now, we're not talking about tie-dye. That's sort of how so many people are baptized. They don't repent. They don't ask forgiveness. And they go into the tank all twisted. And they come out partially clean and partially dyed and undyed. And we'll call that tie-dye. I don't know where that came from. It just came from the Lord. I hope it didn't come from Carl. But He says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Look with me in Colossians chapter 2. Man, I love this. Nice. I see more happening in the water than what people really recognize and see. I know that the water is an outward expression of what took place in the inside. But the Father says something about it in Colossians 2. We'll start and read with verse 6. Listen to this. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man. This happens a lot. And after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, and whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. In other words, there's something that's spiritual that takes place. It's a circumcision made without hands and the putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, whereof you also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it on the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In other words, what the Father is saying here, not only is this an outward expression of what took place on the outside as a witness, but there's something, there's a circumcision by the Spirit. There's a cutting away. This is a commandment of God. These ordinances, God still calls us to do. He said, go ye into all the world and baptize everyone in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all these things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you, even to the end of the world. So he says, hey, we need to repent, and we need to be baptized. You know what? This thing should be going faster than it is. We shouldn't be waiting to baptize men and women after they come to Christ. There's a cutting away. There's something that takes place supernaturally out of obedience when we're baptized. It's another act of obedience that when we move to the baptism waters, that God does something. Amen. And let me say this to you. Yeah, you know, you're not baptized in the greatest freedom ministries. You're baptized in the body of Christ. Amen. You can't even be a member here. We don't even take members. Hallelujah. People partner with us here. We're members of the kingdom of God, and we're family all around the world. Hallelujah. But he says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission. For the remission. For the remission. That comes from the Greek word Ephesus. A-P-H-E-S-I-S. Ephesus. Ephesus. And Ephesus means to pardon, to forgive, to remove. Hello? I don't know about you. He said something to me. I heard this while I was, because I hear some teaching, and some teaching that I hear isn't correct. And he said, this isn't Watergate, where we're covered up by the blood. This is the blood gate, where the sin is removed, where the pardon, if you get a governor's pardon, it's as if you never even committed the crime. God wants you to understand when you repent and you are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, for the removal, he removes them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. So let's go with Matthew 26. There's two ordinances that he commands us to continue in. Baptism and communion. Amen. And in Matthew 26, the Word of God says in verse number 28, he says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission or the removal for the Ephesus, for the removal, for the pardon, for the erasure of my sins. Are you listening? So to illustrate this, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. How many know that Scripture interprets Scripture? Here a line, there a line, here a little, there a little. Hebrews 9, verse number 11. You dare say amen? The Word of God says, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The purge is to remove the thoughts, your conscience, your simple mindset. Amen? He says in Hebrews 10, verse 18, I'll start verse 16. He says, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into my minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. In other words, Jesus did it once. Jesus did it right. Jesus doesn't have to do it again. We're entering into the finished work of Calvary. Amen. And here's what the Father is saying to me. And here's what the Father is saying to you. If Jesus forgives and forgets your past, why are you remembering it? Amen. In other words, you know, I love that song. I'm forgiven, but Judy and Barbara ain't sitting together. Yeah.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It is my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Amen. Amen. I'm forgiven. Come on now. Come on. Come on, you got to get this. You got to get this in your heart. I'm forgiven because he was forsaken. I'm accepted because he was condemned. I'm alive and well. His spirit is within me because he died and he rose again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He says this. Now listen here. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This isn't the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's to seal the deal. Hello? Amen. It's to seal the promise. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 13. The Word of God says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that one Spirit. Amen. In other words, that God has given us this, the Holy Spirit, to seal the deal. Oh, there's all kinds of baptisms. There's a baptism of John the Baptist in repentance. There's a baptism of Jesus Christ. There's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a baptism of the Holy Ghost with fire. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, there's several baptisms, but we're talking about being baptized in the body of Christ. We're talking about being baptized for repentance. Amen. We're being grafted into the body of Christ. So to illustrate this, go to Romans chapter 8. Verse number 9. Listen to me. He says in verse 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Father was talking to me about this. Don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. It's God. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three in one. If you ain't got the Holy Spirit, you ain't got Christ. If you got Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:16, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you and I. Amen. So if you don't have the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, you don't have Jesus either. You can't have the one without the other. Amen. It's a group package. You know, hey, you know something? We may not understand this in our mental capacity, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three one. And we can't pick or choose which one we want. Hello? Anybody with me? You with me today? So to illustrate this again, so we have understanding, turn me to Ephesians chapter 1. The word interprets word. Hello? The word of God says in Ephesians 1:13. The apostle Paul says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's kind of freaking when we look at guys, but the seal of the Holy Spirit is our engagement ring. Amen? In other words, I'm engaged to Christ.
Amen.
And I'm going to be married to Him. He's the groom and we're the bride of Christ. Amen? And when He's coming for His bride, He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's coming for a glorious church. A glorious church is a church that's trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Is giving Him glory and magnifying His name. Amen. And this seal, it's a sealed deal. Amen. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse number 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. In other words, He just said, hey, it's our engagement ring. In other words, but this engagement ring's inside. You know, He said, I'll write my word in their hearts and their minds. Let me say this to you. I don't have to tell anybody in this room what they're doing wrong. Everyone in this room knows what's right and what's wrong. Every last one has a conscience, and sometimes we know it's wrong, but we go ahead and do it anyway. Amen. Yeah, come on now. We've got a Holy Spirit that convicts us. Amen. In other words, I don't have to have anybody preach at me and tell me how bad I am. I just got to have revelation how good He is. The more I know about Him, the more I can be like Him. The more revelation and understanding we have, we can be transformed to that image. And if we have understanding that we can't do it in our own strength. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. Amen. In other words, I can't do it in my own strength. Never could, never will. But I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Hallelujah. God wants somebody to understand in this room today. He wants you to understand when you ask Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, and when you repent it, He removed your sins. He doesn't remember them any longer. Amen. He doesn't. He didn't hold a record of your past offenses. Amen. He pardoned you. Amen. He pardoned and removed it. And He gave you the most special thing, the Holy Spirit. Now, hey, wait, this is a commercial for next week. Next week's about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Next week's about Pentecost. It's Miracle Healing Sunday. And I believe God's going to do something supernatural because next Sunday is the 50th day from the Easter we just celebrated.
Yeah.
Amen. And I believe God's going to do something special. Why? Because He did it once before, He'll do it again. Doesn't your word say He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hallelujah. We serve a God that's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive in you and He's alive in me. So in closing, hallelujah. He says, in closing today, he says, hey, for this promise is unto you and to your children and all them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I believe what the Lord wants to get in our hearts today is simply this. With no repentance, there's no remission.